Have you ever wanted to do something just simple, just basic, and it ended up just growing and just becoming this monster, just this huge complex thing? Like for instance, maybe you wanted to go on a date with your wife, and you just want to do something simple, just something relaxing, just something just basic, but then you have to discuss on, you know, where you're going to eat, or this kind of food, I'm not really in the mood, and that's a mood food for me, and that doesn't work. Or maybe if we go here, maybe if we flip-flop the dinner and the show, and we go to the show first and then the dinner later, but really, I don't want to be hungry during the show because then we spend money on popcorn. Then I really won't be hungry for dinner, so we got to flip-flop that around. And then what show? Are we going to go watch things blow up, or are we going to watch people cry and kiss? You know, and then so, and those movies where they put them all together, that's kind of cool. It's kind of watered down on both sides. But it's all right. You can still go home. And you just get to the end of the sky. And then you got finances that become a part of it. And you know, well, I don't know if I want to spend that much. We got to pay for the babysitter. We got to pay for this. And if we make the matinee, it's cheaper. And it just becomes something that's just hugely complicated. Or maybe you joined your son or your daughter's ball team as an assistant coach. And you thought, well, I'm going to do this because I know a little bit about this sport, and this will give me some time to be able to spend with my child, a little extra time. And so as you join into that, you start taking on responsibility after responsibility. You end up coaching the defense, and your child plays on the offense. And you're there, and you're trying to teach someone else's 8-year-old whiny kids that the best offense is a good defense, which that's baloney anyway. Because the best offense is the best offense. Right? I was on the offense. That's the attitude we had to have, because the best offense is the best offense. That's what it is. Defense is defense, not offense. It's defense. And it just got to where it was just so big, where you just started off, you wanted something simple, and you just want to enjoy that time. Maybe it has something to do with your house. Maybe you started into a home renovation. It just started with a bathroom. You just wanted to replace the sink in the bathroom. Maybe paint it a little. Well, you maybe want to put a border on. Well, in the shower. And then this explodes out in the hallway. And you end up changing the whole blueprint of your house. And it would have been easier to just bulldoze the house and build one from scratch. But really, it just started with something simple, and you complicated it. You just got too much. And maybe it's not inside the house. Maybe it's outside the house. Maybe you wanted a garden. Or how many of you guys have fallen victim to the garden bug? Maybe you wanted a garden, or you wanted landscaping, or maybe you wanted both. And you wanted them both all together, and you want a pretty little garden. And then before you know it, you've got this, you've got a rainforest in your backyard enclosed in this huge terrarium. I mean, I'm talking iguanas hanging from trees. When you pull into your neighborhood, the sound of monkeys can be heard. And it's coming from your house. And you're growing things like mangoes and bananas and coconut trees, when really all you wanted were a few fresh tomatoes. I think we do this with our faith. I think we overcomplicate something that's really simple. And we throw a bunch of stuff into it. And it makes it more than what it needs to be. And sometimes I think we need to back off of that. And we need to simple down. And this morning's a time for that. Simplify. Simplify. Just strip it all off. Strip all the fluff. Because being a Christian really ain't that difficult of a concept. It's actually very simple. And it comes down to two words. Follow me. That's the call. That's the call. The call is follow me. That's what Jesus said. That's how Jesus brought you into this majestic kingdom. And he brought you into service of God Almighty with two words. Follow me. That's how you were invited into a relationship with God, where Jesus simply said, follow me. That's how you were brought into a lifestyle of being a disciple, someone who is disciplined into service. Two words, Follow me. That's the call. That's how every one of us were brought into this thing called the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus started his earthly ministry, he came up to some fishermen, just average guys, blue-collar workers, just your average guys. And he says, hey, follow me. Two words. Follow me. What did they do? They left everything. They left their boats. They left their nets. They left their livelihood. They left their job. And what did they do? They followed him. Jesus encountered a future disciple named Philip. And he said to Philip these very same two words. He said, what? Follow me. Philip went and grabbed Nathanael. And Nathanael, and we have this whole conversation in John. You can go check that out later this afternoon. And Philip becomes one of the 12 disciples. And later in John's gospel, we see that Nathanael is also a disciple. He joins in the group. Follow me. They did. Jesus comes across a tax collector, Matthew, who's also called Levi. And he tells him, he gives him the same invitation. He says, follow me. He leaves his fancy tax calculator. He leaves his fancy pens. And he follows Jesus. You know, my job on a Sunday morning is to take what's in this book and make it relevant. Something that we can apply to our lives. Now, in some cases, I'm dealing with texts, like we're talking Ecclesiastes, that are thousands of years old. And I get in there and I dig and I research and I try and figure out, well, who was the author and where was he and what was his viewpoint and who was he talking to and what was the case there and what did they look like and what are the principles that can be drawn out of this? And I try and suck all that up, take it and kind of sift it out before Sunday morning so I can bring it in here, because I feel my job is to be able to take that and say, here's what God's word says. Here's how you can use it in your life. Today, this part of my job is null and void. There's no conversion that needs to happen, because I believe that it's really just this simple. Follow Jesus. No translation needed, no Greek study, no in-depth theology, no digging. Just follow Jesus. Simple. Some of you are thinking, you know, you hear these names like Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Nathanael, and you think, well, these guys are biblical characters. They're Bible guys. They're disciples of Jesus. Of course they're going to leave their nets behind. Of course they're going to leave their jobs, their livelihood, their tax collecting days behind, and they're going to follow Jesus because they're disciples, and we've got it in our head. These guys are disciples. You've overcomplicated it. You've missed it. We've got it backwards. They didn't leave their nets and their jobs and their tax collecting calculators because they were disciples. They became disciples because they left those things behind. You see it? It's really simple. They're just guys like you and me. They listened to two simple words and they obeyed it. Follow me. And they left it. So, am I telling you you have to leave your job? It's not for me to say. This morning is very personal between you and God. And you need to listen to him and you need to hear him this morning and understand what those two words mean for you and in your life. Because if there's anything that's standing in the way of you and God, anything, then that needs to be removed. If it's your job, if your job is keeping you from having a serving relationship with God where he is your Lord and you obey him in everything, if following Jesus cannot happen because of where you work, you need to leave your job. That's between you and God. Maybe it's something to do with family-oriented stuff. And Jesus deals with individual disciples throughout the Gospels on individual situations. Like one of the disciples, we don't know which one, just says another disciple came up to Jesus and he said, Lord, let me go and bury my father first. And he said, what? Two words. Follow me. Let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. Now, that's hardcore, isn't it? Is he saying that it's wrong for us to go for our father's funerals for every one of us? I don't think that's the case. He's talking on to an individual basis here. But whatever he's saying to you this morning is he's saying that whatever stands in your way, whatever's keeping you from following him, get rid of it. Leave it behind. Don't try to overcomplicate it. Don't try to justify it. Don't try to rationalize. Jesus says, follow me. I've talked with different people that they are ready to accept Jesus. They're ready to follow Jesus. They're ready to become a disciple of Jesus. But their hang up is that my family believes something differently. Or I've got someone directly connected to me, and if I wait, then maybe I can bring them with me. Jesus has two words to you this morning, not to your family, to you. It's follow me. If you got to leave your family behind to do that, then you do that. It's hardcore, but it's Jesus. He has the right to demand first place in our lives. He does. It's just the way it is. Maybe it's not family. Maybe it's money that's holding you back. There was another guy that wanted to follow Jesus, and he came up to Jesus, and he wanted to follow him. And Jesus said, all right, go and sell everything you've got and give things to the poor. Then do what? Then follow me. Whatever's standing in your way this morning, get rid of it. If it's money that's standing in your way of following Jesus, you need to get rid of that. Because I guarantee you, Jesus is more important than money. And think about the simplicity of this. Simplify. Think about how crazy your life is, how stressed your life is, and think about how simple life would be if you just focused on two words. Every second of every minute of every hour of every day of every month of every year of every decade that you get to live here on earth, if you just followed two words, follow me. Think about that. Think about the pressure that takes off. Follow me. Think about the guidance that gives. Follow me. Think about the purpose involved, the meaning involved, and just those two words, follow me. Think about the encouragement found, the adventure, the excitement, the danger, the safety, the wisdom found in just doing two words your whole life. Follow me. All choices funnel down to one choice. Follow me. What do I do with my money? What do I do with my stuff, my things? Follow me. But I'm so worried. I'm so concerned. I'm overwhelmed. I can't sleep at night. Follow me. What about my family? Follow me. What about my job? Follow me. I need to get some volunteers up here. I need five brave souls. If I need to, Austin, you got a chance to volunteer. I want new people. I want to try and keep track of who's been up here because sooner or later you're going to get up here. All right. Let me have five brave souls. Five brave souls. All right, come on up, Hope. Take Quentin. Come on, anybody. Come on up. Who do we have in the back? All right, come on up, Nicole. One more. Come on, look at all these women. Thank you, Jim. Come on up. Got all these women up here. I say brave souls. Courageous. Terry, up there, I'll take six. Come on up. Stand up. I want you guys to line up all on the stage. All right, now. Love the belt. That's all right. That's all right. Six will work. I can work with six. Now, I want you guys to hold hands. All right, we'll break it here. We'll break it. All right, you can handle it. All right, let's break these hands here now. All right, now move a little bit far away. I don't want anything to arc yet. All right, now I did some electrical work. Actually, Jim taught me a little something about electricity. And so I learned something that you've got this black wire, and the black wire is like hot. Let me make sure we got. I bought a little tester thing and everything. Oh, yeah, we're good. Okay. And Jim's told me many times. He does this stuff like with things plugged in and everything. So you're not afraid of this at all, are you? So we're in good shape. Lick it first. I'm not quite the man you are. There we go. All right. This is a hot, right? Is this a hot? Does anybody know? All right. Black is a hot. If you want to just... should you want it on your tongue? Now, you guys know what's going to happen. And you're still holding the hands. These guys trust me way too much. That is nuts. Okay, so just for illustration's sake. Okay, so you got the negative there and the ground. We don't need the ground. We'll go old school, early 19th. So, now the idea here, and you can get the neutral. Hold the metal. That's why I stripped it. You're safe. It's not going to get you. It's not even plugged in. Look, I unplugged it. You're all safe. Right here's the plug-in. Okay, now, at this point, this side would be charged. But Hope would have no charge. She's holding what's called the neutral. Okay, but if they held hands, and we had a current running through here, then now Hope would be charged. Is that correct? I mean, like, so if we did this, if we just put... I'm joking. Come on. You guys have a seat. Have a seat. Have a seat. Good job. Thank you very much. We're going to make sense out of this. Yeah, give him a hand. Give him a hand. Thank you. You guys really think I'd work with live stuff? Goodness. Just in case some of you guys are worried. The plug is hot. No doubt about that. But we're dead. So they were safe. So it's not connected in the plug. So the plug was hot. No, so we have this line of people here. Crazy people. And we've got this current that would have been running through them had that been a live current. And when they connect that circuit, they connect that current. And in your life, after you obey those words, follow me, you enter into this current. The Holy Spirit who lives in each and every one of us and moves and lives in us. And it's a current connecting each and every one of us. But if something happened that you don't feel the current anymore, you don't feel the pop when you're making a connection with somebody. If that's the case, you might have stepped out of the chain. You might have lost track of where you're at. I mean, maybe in the beginning, you made a decision to follow Jesus. No matter what, I was going to be a courageous soul. Even if the preacher was going to electrocute me, I was still going to hold on. You guys are amazing. Maybe at the beginning of your walk with Jesus and you heard these two simple words, follow me. Maybe you dropped everything. Maybe you did leave your job. Maybe you said, you know what, Mom, Dad, I respect your beliefs, but this is what God is calling me to do, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow this. And you stepped in this line, and you became a conductor for God. Nothing was more important than Him. Nothing was more important than His wishes. Nothing was more important than His direction. Nothing was more important than His principles. No matter what the sacrifice, no matter how dangerous or what the risk was, you're willing to lay it all on the line because you listened and you obeyed those two simple words, follow me. But since that day, maybe things have changed. Maybe you've lost the excitement. Maybe you've lost the adventure. And your life as a disciple is just stop conducting. Maybe it's because you're not connected. You might feel like there's nothing different, but you know inside something's changed. I don't feel that power. Maybe you overcomplicated it. Maybe you ran ahead. Maybe you got comfortable. Somewhere you lost track of these two simple words. Follow me. And whatever the influence that has caused that, you're sitting here this morning and you're singing to God these praise songs that were divinely inspired by the musicians. And it didn't move you. And you read God's word and it doesn't connect. And you pray and it just feels useless. And maybe you're wondering, what's happened to my faith? You don't feel any strong sense of duty or ambition. And your faith, it's just dull. Years ago, and through my time here, I've shared a number of stories with you guys about me venturing out and doing outdoor stuff. And that normally turns out to provide some pretty awesome stories. So you guys have probably missed this because we moved last summer. And so we moved away from the house that had the snakes. So no more snake stories. I'm sorry. So far, no more snake stories. No more wasp stories. I learned how to use the bush trimmer so that I'm not blowing it up. And so I was mowing Friday. And, you know, as a man, you got to keep the straight lines. Right, men? That's important, vitally important. Okay, and so I'm mowing, and you've got to do the perimeter, so you've got some room to turn around at the edges. Yes? You know where I'm at, guys? All right, so I'm kind of finishing up on that. So I make a lap around this side, come back around, and I'm coming up, and I've got a 120-pound German Shepherd. He's probably a little more than that now, but the last time we weighed him, he was there. Right there in the path of where my wheels were going to go, he relieved himself. And I kind of stopped there, and I thought, well, I'm in a hurry. I have a choice. I can run over it with the wheels and keep my straight line, which we don't have a fence yet. We don't have a gate in our fence, so the only way to get the lawnmower from the front yard to the backyard is through the kitchen. So I thought, probably not the best idea there. And I could stop and go in and get something and move it, or I could use my shoe, but I didn't. So until the next time I mow, there's this little in one of my lines. What has gotten in your way? What is it that's caused you to move off the path? What is it that's caused you to move away from your straight line? Because stuff happens. Sometimes it's right in your way when it does happen. Paul liked to use athletic analogies. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, Paul says, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I'm confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be." I ask you that question that Paul asked them. Who cut in on you? Who or what cut in on my race? And that's the conflict we might be dealing with this morning. Who or what cut in on your race? What's keeping you from being the disciple that you used to be? What moved you out of the chain? What kept you out, has kept you out of the current? What has appeared in your path that has caused you to veer and lose your straight line? Paul says a little bit of yeast works through the whole dough. One little move off that straight path. Mowing my lawn, that's nothing. Your spiritual life, it can be huge. If you just take one movement off of that, those two words, off of the simplicity of the gospel, what has influenced you in such a way that you're doubting the lordship of God over your life? He is king. And if you have made the decision to be a disciple of him, he is your king. No one should have a higher opinion than his. And his simple call is to follow me. Nothing else. It's that simple. So what is it that's cut into your race? Something happened? Are you struggling with depression? Are you going through a time where God is silent? You're used to hearing him, feeling him, and you just haven't felt him or you haven't heard him in a while. And so you've even moved to the point where you're doubting that God even speaks to you anymore. Maybe you don't see him working around you the way you used to see him working around you. And you've gotten to the point where you just doubt. You doubt that he's even present in your life. Are you just not feeling effective in your part of the kingdom? Do you doubt the gifts that you've been given? Do you doubt the power that's been given to you through those gifts? Have you isolated yourself away from others? Broken the chain? Have you lost faith in God's power this morning? Have you even questioned his existence in your life? You're not alone. You're not alone at all. Last summer, I went through a rough time, personally, emotionally. And I struggled with this list. And I felt weird coming to church because I still believed in God's word and I believed the power in it, but I didn't feel it in me. And it's not a fun place to be. And in my position, it doesn't feel right to be there. I mean, you're kind of expected. You know, but really, when it comes down to it, I put my shoes on one foot at a time, just like everyone else in this room. And I'd like to say that God opened the clouds and this ray of light shone down on me and I heard his thundering voice and he gave me some huge prophetic message and I left just rejuvenated and full of power and ready to come back and just preach like I've never preached before. I'd like to say that that's what happened because that's exciting. It's not what happened at all. What happened really was I had to come back to those two words. And even though I wasn't hearing God or feeling God or really being able to watch him work much around me, I had to step into a life of discipline, a life of intellectual faith that says, I'm going to stay true to the path that I started. And I'm just going to keep doing what God asked me to do the last time I heard him speak, and that was preach at Miami Town Church of Christ. So I kept doing what God asked me to do. I manned up. It wasn't anything spectacular that God did. It was me simpling down and learning that I need to keep focused on two words. Follow me. And that's really the solution. Don't wait for God to make some appearance. And some of you are in the same place this morning. Some of you have been asking God, you know, God, if you're real, then I want you to show yourself to me. Or I'm getting tired of all this stuff happening to me. If you're really listening to me, it says in the Bible, it says that you'll answer my prayers. And where are you? What are the answers? What have you been doing? I don't hear anything. If that's where you are, if you're in any of those places this morning, let me assure you, you can't wait on God to make some majestic appearance. He does what he wants to do because he is God. He has the right to do that. You're a disciple. You're a follower. And the solution really is just simple. It's those same two words. The solution this morning for you isn't complex. Just follow me. Just follow him. When it's exciting and adventurous and daring, the solution is follow him. When it's treacherous and risky and scary, the solution is follow him. When it's dark and dismal, the solution is to follow him. And even when your spiritual life is dull, even when you've stepped out of the connection, even when you've veered from the path and something has cut in on your race and knocked you off, even in those times, the solution is so simple, and it's just follow him. You know, at the end of Jesus' life, there were just some crazy things that happened. And one of the disciples we talked about earlier, Peter, he was there with Jesus in the upper room when they had their Last Supper, and he was there to watch Judas betray him. And we follow Peter as Peter watched Jesus in some of his trials. Jesus was crucified and he was buried. He was dead for 3 days. Peter heard silence for 3 days from the Son of God. Then Jesus rose from the dead. Well, after Jesus' resurrection, he had told the disciples to wait in Galilee for him. And so they were there, and there was Peter. And for whatever reason, if it was just for relaxation, maybe something he knew, or maybe he picked his nets back up and got in the boat because maybe the excitement was over. But for whatever reason, in the end of the Gospel of John, we see Peter in a boat, fishing. Not catching men, catching fish. And Jesus makes a surprise appearance to him, makes a visit, and Peter's excited. He jumps off the boat and swims back to the shore, beats the boat back to the shore, and they have a meal together. And amidst all the confusing things that happen, Jesus then pulls Peter aside, and he tells him the importance of Peter continuing the work that Jesus had started. And as Jesus is sharing this with Peter, telling him that he needs to continue on, he needs to go on, go forward with this. Don't go backward. Don't stop. Don't stall. Don't plateau. Keep moving forward. And as he's sharing this, John is following behind. And so Peter, and John and Peter, they were good friends. So Peter asked Jesus, said, what about John? What about him? And Jesus tells Peter, he says, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must what? Follow me. Don't worry about John. Don't worry about other people. Don't look around you. Don't say, well, what about this guy? What about this guy? What about this? Or what about that? Or what about my job? Or what about my life? Or what about this worry? Or what about my finances? Just listen, Peter. Simplify. Follow me. Church, simplify. Listen to the call. Obey the solution. Follow me.